This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next-door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
July the 3rd. 2021. Adele Ferguson, Walkley Award-winning journalist. Adele joined us. She was a regular on the show during the year and is always very popular with our listeners. She talked about the Nuix affair, N-U-I-X, which was a share market listing that went horribly wrong. Adele brought this to the attention of the public. And subsequently, what happens when Adele does things like this, our hapless corporate regulators decide they need to investigate.
Our next guest is Adele Ferguson, Gold Walkley Award winner, a Quill winner, one of Australia's best business journalists, if not the best, and certainly one who gets to the bottom of stories that people actually don't always want to get air. So welcome, Adele.
Hi, Macca.
Good morning to you, Adele. Great to have you back on the airwaves.
Now, do you feel really vindicated, Adele? Nuix, what a train wreck, a derailment. Oh,
I think I feel more shocked and horrified than vindicated at what's been going on. Every time I come on the show, there's been some more startling revelations out of this company.
Okay, before you continue any further, just give us a very quick snapshot about what's occurred.
Okay, so as we were talking about, Nuix was the biggest, hottest float of 2020, listed at an issue price of $5.31. Everybody piled into it and it went up to nearly $12. We did a big expose a couple of months ago saying that this company, whose software is used by regulators around the world to catch the crooks, had possibly misled investors with the prospectus. Since then, there's been a massive unravelling of it. You've had the AFP is investigating somebody. You've had raids of the CFO's penthouse apartment, his brothers, the parents. What we found out this week was ASIC has lodged an affidavit in the courts to, one thing was to stop the brother going back to Switzerland, and the other was that they've launched this massive insider trading case into the CFO of Nuix, has now resigned or, you know, been terminated by mutual agreement. And they set up this incredible, you know, this is all allegations, but set up this incredible path to basically insider trade. Mm. And what is so surprising about it is usually with insider trading, it's when you hear about good news and the share price,
yes,
you know, people will. What happened here was they set up a company called Black Hat, which if you look that up in the Cambridge Dictionary, it's actually saying that someone who's intending to be immoral. You know, in the old Western movies, the Black Hat are the bad,
yes,
guys. And the White Hats. They've set up a company called Black Hat, and instead of selling out the day the shares listed, they waited until it peaked. So the day it peaked at a record, they start to sell the shares. And the CFO would have known what was coming because he's the CFO. And what was coming was that they were going to miss their target. So they started to, you know, sell these shares and sold $1.5 million in one day below the market price because they were just so desperate to get out.
Wow.
You know, allegedly, before the news came that they were going to miss the forecast. And the share price, when the company did miss the forecast, fell 32%.
So ASIC, Australia's Stupid Investment Cop. Or Australian Securities and Investment Commission.
You've
Australia's,
been planning that
Australia's
one,
Stupid Investment Cop. You know, that realistically, you know, if they had to build a bridge across a river, they'd all fall off and drown because they're so pathetic. They don't, you know, yet again, Adele, they're late to the party, aren't they?
Well, the really sad thing is there was a whistleblower who had written three letters to them before the float saying, please look at this company. Mm. Please delay the prospectus because, you know, they're not going to meet their forecast and there's a lot of other really bad stuff going on and nothing happened. So what's happened so far is shareholders have been burned $3
billion.
$3 billion, and we have allegations here that the CFO, his father and brother, made, you know, millions of dollars out of insider trading.
Nice family. Adele, with the property market, it's no surprise to any of us that the property market is going gangbusters. The federal government is in charge of responsible lending laws, and the banks have never been so busy with mortgage finance for property. And in fact, they've actually changed their mode of operation a bit. They're not using brokers anywhere near the extent they did. They're keeping a lot of it in-house because obviously it's more profitable for them. But the volume of housing loans has increased at such a rate, and it's only going to get larger increase because of these responsible lending laws, which were a result of the Royal Commission. That's going to have an impact on bank profitability in a good way, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it was these changes to the responsible lending laws were announced last September, and Josh Frydenberg at the time pitched it as an adrenaline shot into the economy. You know, that if we get rid of responsible lending laws. And what that is that during the GFC, a lot of people, you had strong financial where there was triple gearing. People were put into these, you know, scams where, you know, related to property. And so they introduced responsible lending laws so that the banks and other lending institutions couldn't just lend to anybody. They had obligations, but they had to ensure that the money they were lending out to somebody was suitable. What they're saying is, you know, basically caveat emptor, buyer beware. You know, you should know how much you can afford and go forth and borrow. Now, the problem with that is people don't necessarily know how much they can afford, and sometimes you can have a bank manager or even brokers, because they're still doing, you know, much of the lending, who get, you know, the brokers get commissions. So the bigger the loan, the more commission they get. So there's this appetite to really, you know, the more loans that you write, the bigger the profit.
So the bank...
And so this can have a... this can have an impact on, you know, the financial system stability. So it is a problem. And, you know, what we've seen in the last week is figures coming out where Sydney house prices have gone up 15% in the last year. Melbourne, it's nearly 10%. So, you know, there's been this real property bubble going on. And you'd have to say it's only going to get worse, you know, these responsible lending laws come in.
Because, you know, the banks did a bit of a mea culpa post-Royal Commission and, you know, I think I don't think you were as shocked as some of us at what came out because you'd been following this and had written about it on many occasions, some of the behaviour of the banks, to then actually say, oh, well, we actually trust the banks to be able to know exactly how much you can afford and... You know, we've got, you know, like we've got good history here. Well, perhaps not. So it does trouble me that this potentially can have an impact on the economy. It will only make, it will certainly fuel property rises, but the impact on the bank's bottom line, you know, is going to be very significant, isn't it, Adele?
Yes, I believe it will be, yes. And we've already seen that. They've started loosening the terms. ahead of this easing of the responsible lending laws. You know, partly the property boom is because interest rates are so incredibly low and you've got the first home buyer schemes going, but it's also because banks are feeling, you know, like they've been given, you know, the golden, you know, bar by the government to go forth and lend as much as you can. You know, let's get this, you know, this pandemic that has, you know, wreaked havoc on the economy last year. Let's use, let's have a credit-fueled boom, basically.
Now, the government, you know, released a number of reports and commentary during the week. Looks like we're going to have deficits for the next 40 years.
Yes, that's right.
40 years. Like,
yeah,
that's
no.
almost
yeah.
two generations. So, you know, grandchildren and great-grandchildren are going to be paying for this. Were you surprised by that time frame, Adele, 40 years? I mean, most of us can't get our head over this year. But another 40 yeah. years?
We won't be around, Macca.
Well, we might be.
Yeah, it will be at least, you know, how do we possibly get out of this? You know, and as interest rates go up, it'll probably just keep on pushing that out.
Mm.
Because you know, at the end of the day, I think all of us acknowledge with some, you know, with varying degrees of nuance that JobKeeper and JobSeeker, all these programs of the federal government and the state governments have helped the Australian economy to dodge, you know, we've had some flesh wounds, but, you know, the reality is Australia in an economic sense is doing fine apart from our debt. But, you know, I don't think people realise, you know, as an individual, you actually couldn't run a deficit for 40 years.
No, no.
You can't. It's called bankruptcy.
It's a real issue, and I, you know, just getting back to this responsible lending, you know, it could be a real issue if they do end up being able to ease this. It'll be more than an adrenaline shot into the economy. It will be, you know, property prices, they're already on steroids, you know, and it will just keep going up. And then when interest rates inevitably start rising, that's when you're going to have a problem, because people will have bought into these houses and they won't be able to afford them.
Because we're actually seeing, and it actually was dialed back for a while, interest-only finance was dialed back for a while. I see that the approvals of interest-only are actually increasing, and interest-only is usually, let's put aside a developer, interest-only finance is used buying residential property when you can't afford to repay the capital
yes.
in almost every case. And
yes.
it's a real danger sign that if you can only afford to pay the interest on a loan, and there are lots of reasons people do it. I've had interest-only loans, you know, moving different houses, but having an interest-only loan for 2 or 3 years, what that says is, and the bank are complicit in this, is you actually can't afford to pay back the capital. And that's not good lending. That is not responsible lending.
No, that's right. And but the onus will tip towards the borrower rather than, you know, previously it would be the banks would have to make sure that you could afford it.
So, Adele, where are we at with all of this? I mean, there's obviously not enough scrutiny on this at the moment. There's obviously you're scrutinising this, but it's not being widely reported, and this isn't actually front and centre of people's minds or the way people are perceiving the way
well,
in which
well, don't rely on
the Treasury is
don't rely on ASIC to do anything.
Or Treasury, for that matter. Where's this going to land?
Where it's at is it's up to Parliament, you know. So the Labor Party has said that they are very much against this. The Greens have come out. So it will all depend on the numbers at the end of the day, if they have the numbers to get this through.
You know, if it wasn't for journalists like you,
we wouldn't come to light.
If we had to rely on ASIC, or if people trying to get issues resolved, you know, go to the Australian Financial Complaints Authority, you know, you'd be much better, you know, waiting to get a ticket with Jeff Bezos into space, because the regulators are not doing their job. And that really disturbs as we head into an area where the finance market is really, you know, is in a very dangerous place. It's in a very dangerous place. So, look, I thank you for your work. I just, you know, I just wish the regulators would regulate.
Yeah, I think in defence of ASIC in this time, they did actually try to, prior to Seidenberg coming out, announcing this, they had tried to take Westpac to account in the courts over responsible lending. It was the Wagyu and Shiraz case, and they lost. And that's when this all happened. They were saying that, you know, ASIC was causing confusion in the market, missed messages, that the banks were too afraid to lend it to anybody, which was rubbish.
Yeah.
You know, so they did try, and they got smacked around.
There you go. There was Adele defending ASIC. I'll make a note of that time log.
Adele, thank you for your time. Unfortunately, we're out and we need to move on, but thank you very much for your time, and thank you always for shedding light on what are really important issues.
Very dark corners.
Mm.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.